Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today and all this week, and as well as next week, we'll be looking at the prophecies in the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel has been attacked by liberal scholars trying to disprove that Daniel actually predicted the things that are recorded in this book. And one of the primary reasons is that it is so accurate as to the details of the prophecies that are recorded in the book of Daniel that it's been challenged to try and take away the authority of this wonderful book of prophecy. And for the next 2 weeks, we'll focus not so much on the narrative portions, but primarily on prophetic sections which deal with predictions that the book of Daniel itself makes. And in this program today, we'll be looking at the authority of the book of Daniel, showing that it's truly a prophetic book. The book of Daniel was written approximately in 535 BC or to 530 BC. And it is attested by Jesus Christ himself that Daniel wrote this book and that he was a prophet. Twice in the New Testament, Jesus himself quotes from the book of Daniel, showing that Daniel truly wrote this book and is a prophet of God. In Matthew 24, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." This same thing is recorded also in Mark chapter 13 and verse 14. So we see that Jesus authenticates that Daniel is the writer of this book. The book of Daniel has been attacked to the point that some have suggested that Daniel is actually a composition from two different writers, which is just a fallacy. It's just an argument trying to discredit the book of Daniel. I'll simply stand on the words of Jesus Christ, who I believe is the ultimate authority on every issue. He credits Daniel and quotes from the book of Daniel, supporting that he truly was the author. A couple other points in authenticating the book of Daniel is that even the Old Testament itself, a contemporary prophet of Daniel, makes reference to him. Three times in the book of Ezekiel, Daniel is mentioned. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, it reads this way, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God." Also in verse 20, "And even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter." Also in Ezekiel 28, verse 3, we have a very clear reference to Daniel, where it says, "Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you." So three times the prophet Ezekiel, who is a contemporary of Daniel, mentions his name. And in order to get the date for the book of Ezekiel, it's found in the very first chapter of the book in verse 3, where Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there." The word Chaldeans is a reference to the Babylonians. So Ezekiel is one of the faithful Israelites that was actually taken captive to Babylon. He was a prophet that started his ministry in Israel, and then when the Babylonians came in and took the Israelites captive, he was brought there, as well as Daniel was. And Ezekiel makes a reference to him three times, showing that he was known in the land of Israel in the time of Ezekiel. Another attack that's been placed upon the book of Daniel is that actually he wrote these events down after they took place. And so it's not a book of prophecy, but it's someone using the name of Daniel, proclaiming to be a prophet, and then writing history as if he was predicting it. And that could be easily disproved by two facts. First of all, in 325 BC, according to Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, in his records, he records that Jaddua, the priest, came to Alexander the Great and showed him his place in the book of Daniel, and his response was to not level Jerusalem and destroy it, but he went into the temple and worshiped God. And then the second infallible proof is that in 285 BC, in what is called the Septuagint, the book of Daniel is recorded there. And the Septuagint is basically a Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. Just as today we have an English translation of the Greek and Hebrew, they needed a translation in their own language, which most of the Israelites at that point in that era spoke Greek and read Greek and understood Greek. So the Old Testament was recorded for them in the Greek language so that they could read and understand it. And the book of Daniel was placed there. And so that is a record that we have dating back to 285 BC. So these attacks on the book of Daniel cannot be substantiated by any means. And actually, all the evidence is overwhelming that the book of Daniel was written when it's claimed to be in approximately 530 BC. Ezekiel mentions him three times. Josephus supports the fact the book of Daniel was in existence at that time. So does the Septuagint give evidence to that, but most importantly, Jesus Christ himself. And as you think about it, you should ask the question, why is it that the book of Daniel specifically is the one book that's attacked over and over again in the Old Testament? Most of the other books of the Old Testament do not come at issue, but this one sure does. It's at the forefront. And I would suggest to you is that primarily it's because it's a book of prophecy. And those that do not believe in the true God and those that do not believe in the authority of the Bible want to reject this book, discredit it, because prophecy sure shows that the Bible is inspired and is the final and only authority that we have to base what we know about God on, rather than human opinion or speculation. It's the Word of God alone. So this book gets attacked because of that reason. Let me give you some statistics that relate to prophecy and the Bible. Nearly 30% of the Bible is prophetic, actually 27%. And out of the 31,124 verses in the Bible, 8,352 of those relate to prophecy. So nearly one out of every four, or close to one out of every three references relate to prophecy somehow. In the Old Testament, there's 23,210 verses, and out of that, 6,641 of them relate to prophecy. And that's about 28.5%. In the New Testament, out of the 7,914 verses, 1,711 relate to prophecy, and that's about 21.5%. So a significant portion of the Bible is prophetic. And obviously, prophecy is one of those things that confirms our faith, that attests to the fact that the Bible is the true Word of God and the only foundation for truth. And so no wonder the enemy wants to attack this book specifically, which predicts the date of the first coming of Jesus Christ, as well as predicts the major empires that will rise up in man's history. An interesting point in the Bible from the book of Isaiah is that God himself actually shows that he is a true God by saying that he is the one that predicts the future. In Isaiah 41, verse 21 through 23 reads this way. God says this, "Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they were, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together." So God's calling out to these people who are worshiping the false gods and saying, well, let them predict the future to prove that they truly are God. Isaiah 45, verse 21 makes the same point, where Isaiah writes, "Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me." And so God says, I'm authenticating that I'm the true God and that there is no other God because I'm the one that predicts the future. The same point is made in Isaiah 46 and verse 9, where he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So God says, I'm the true God because I predict the future, bringing these things to pass, and I'm the one whose counsel will stand or whose will be accomplished. So prophecy is an incredible, important topic in the life of the church, because we have nearly 30% of the entire Bible relate to some aspect of prophecy, as well as God saying, this is evidence that I'm the true God. Another interesting point about prophecy is that Jesus Christ, the very first sermon that he gave, was the fulfillment of prophecy. He went into the temple, and in Luke chapter 4, it describes how he quotes from Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, a prophecy about the Messiah and the type of ministry that he would have. And then after he read it, he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. One final thought about prophecy. One of the things it does, it prepares us for heaven. It prepares us to be ready for the Lord. And in that preparation, in that mentality, that should bring on a purifying effect upon our lives. As 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3 reads this way, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So as we study prophecy, it should give us a greater depth of hope of the future and what it brings, and then immediately in our life, it should bring a purifying effect, because we're going to be ready for the Lord. We're going to be looking for his coming, eagerly waiting by living a purified life, that today may be the day that we'll be with the Lord. And when that mentality comes upon your heart and life, it brings more of a fire in your heart to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, as well as to bring about His will. So as we study the book of Daniel, no wonder it's attacked by the enemy to destroy its credibility. I hope that these things that we've looked at has reestablished and reconfirmed in your heart and given you that great sense of confidence that the book of Daniel is true and accurate. It's a prophetic book and one that it has great authority and can impact our life. And may the Lord give us understanding as we go through the book of Daniel these next 2 weeks.